So today we talked to a guy named Jason Garrison. Now, we started off this whole conversation talking about his hometown in Haleville, Alabama, and the interesting things there. We talked about his dad. Now, here's the crazy thing about his dad. His dad was one of 18 kids. I did not stutter. 18 kids who he learned the say yes work ethic to that has really propelled this guy to massive success. We go down the journey of a divorce that blindsided him and how that shaped him and how that helped him find Jesus, but also being in an industry. So here's the thing I want people to understand is like he was in an industry for 16 years and doing well. Had a mind shift and went in a different direction and is absolutely doing wonderful in that industry. You are going to love this two-part episode with Jason Garrison. Haleville, Alabama is the originator of the 911 call?
911. So what put Haleville, not Haleyville, you know. I've been in Birmingham for 24 years, yeah. So I'm working on 25. Yeah. So it's Haleyville here. But born and raised in Haleville, graduated in 95. But what put Haleyville on the map was the home of 911 and Guthrie's Chicken.
Okay.
So the free state of Winston. So we seceded.
Free state of Winston.
Free state of Winston.
Winston County.
Winston County.
Okay, so look, here's tell me if this story is true. I heard this story about Guthrie's Chicken. Is it Guthrie's Chicken or I think it's Guthrie's. So the guy that started Guthrie's Chicken had a partner, and they were partners together, and they didn't have – it was like they started in their backyard or whatever. And then the guy that broke off from Guthrie's started Zaxby's? Is that true?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that. So I'll have to dig into that.
Yeah, I heard that story, so I don't even know if that's true. I've known Jason for a while, just don't connect in daily life with Jason. But then talked to a mutual friend, Mike Schwally. Mm-hmm. You do business with him. I do business with him. Great guy. And he said, hey, it'd be great to have Jason on. So that's the bulk of the people you see on this podcast are recommendations of other people. And that, I found out, is the best way to get great people on here. So I'm happy that you're here today. Thank you for being here. So,
yeah, glad to be here, man.
So you're a real estate agent, been in real estate for a long time. That's a pretty huge part of your life. But I always like to go back. So tell me what childhood was like in your parents. And did your parents' careers, they influence you in business anyway? Tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Haleville, very kind of country living.
Yeah,
obviously, you know,
when
I first moved to Birmingham, it was kind of like I was moving to the Big Apple. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, what am I doing here? I can't find anything. I'm lost every day. But growing up was interesting. You know, my mom had me when she was 14. My dad was 21. So now he would probably be in jail.
Under the jail.
That's right. So she was 14, he was 21, and they divorced when I was 4 to 5 years old.
Okay.
And so that was, you know, caused me to grow up a lot, you know, and I've got two siblings. I'm the oldest. My brother's 2 years younger than me. Sister's 4 years younger. And so really grew up really, really quick, almost like the father figure, you know.
So your mom had one at 14, 16, and 18.
14, 16, 18. Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
So for a while.
Is your mom still living?
She is.
She's young.
So is my dad. Yeah. So for a while there, we would go, to lunch or we'd go to dinner. And many times they would think that was my girlfriend, my mom.
I'm thinking, you said you're 49?
I'll be 49 in April. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, she's what, 64?
Yep. Yeah, so young, so very young. So that was kind of, so my dad was kind of in and out,
sure.
Alcohol, you know, just kind of, he was young. He was sowing his oats and wasn't at the house and had a lot of alcohol involved, was a big alcoholic, and we'd see him every other weekend sometimes. There would be many weekends where he'd tell us he was going to come pick us up, and we'd have our bags packed and standing at the door waiting for him, and he wouldn't show. Mm-hmm. No hide, no hair, just no communication whatsoever. So that was tough.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, he showed me how to be a dad. The dad I am today is almost through him because it showed me the dad I didn't want to be. And so we have a fantastic relationship. God has done some amazing work there from a redemptive standpoint and brought us all back together. And so you know, we're great.
That's
I
right.
love him. He's awesome. Hasn't smoked in over 20 years.
Amen.
So he's
That's
been
right.
clean. He just stopped cold turkey one day. Wow. You know, my dad also too was very entrepreneur. So he grew up in Missouri, one of 18 kids.
Say that again.
He grew up in Missouri, one of 18 kids.
18.
18. He was the baby. 18.
Sierra.
18 kids.
Listen, no, you can, no one ever sees Sierra. Sierra's back there, and she's producing this whole thing.
She says, wow.
And she is laughing and going, wow. I can hear the dumbfounded look on her face.
She says, wow.
18.
18 kids. So grew up on a farm, and that's all.
Had labor.
That's all they did. They didn't have television back then. So all they did was produce babies to work. And so his job was to work. His dad was abusive. His dad was an alcoholic. So he learned from his dad. And so they'd get him up at 4 o'clock in the morning, the kids. They'd go out, feed the chickens, tend to the crops, do whatever they needed to do. And by 6 o'clock, they needed to be home making a pot of coffee. If not, they would get beat. And so so he learned that way of life, and so moved to Alabama, moved to Winston County, met my mom, and here we are. So he, at age 5, was pulled out of school. So to this day, he can't read, can't write. That's my father. And he's in his 70s, can't read or write. No. All he did, he met a guy.
I want to go back to that.
Yeah.
How does that? Because we had a situation years ago where we had a nephew esque come live with us, and mm-hmm. he was on a second grade reading level mm-hmm. at 22, 25 years old. But like, how did he function?
So it's gotten harder because as technology, you know, we're sitting here in a podcast. Where we've got telephones, we've got emails, we've got internet, we've got, you know, things we didn't have as a child. But
right.
all as technology and things have advanced, it's gotten harder for him. But what I've learned the most from him is his work ethic. Mm-hmm. He is one of the hardest workers that you'll ever see in your life. He, to this day, I mean, he'll be up at 4 o'clock in the morning and he's working. And so he met a guy named Doc Bushell, and really that saved his life. In the fact that so my dad was looking for work. He was a chiropractor. Doc Bushell was a chiropractor. So he goes. So my dad goes to him one day, and he knew he had a lot of land. He lived in Haleville, and said, "Hey, do you need any work? I'm looking for work." He was hungry. He just needed to make a living. You know, some of the siblings at that time couldn't be taken care of, and they were put in foster homes. He was just old enough. My dad's siblings. One of 18 kids. So they're not taking care of him all this time. The dad passed away when he was young age. So a lot of the kids were taken from the home and put in foster care. Mm-hmm. He was old enough to avoid that at this time. So he was looking for work and went to Doc Bushell and said, "Hey, I need some work. Do you have anything?" And he pointed at a backhoe sitting off in the field. And he told my dad, "I need some dirt moved. Could you do some work for me?" He said, "Could you operate that?" My dad's like, "Yes." Never been on one in his entire life. Didn't even know how to start it. And he said, "Okay, yeah, I've got it. What do you need done?" So Doc Bushell gave him some instructions, told him to move some dirt. Here's what I need done. He went to the tractor, sat down, looked around. How do I start it? What do I do? Figured it out, and that's what he's done for his whole entire life. And then he ran for a number of years when I was young, Garrison Excavating. He worked for, he laid anything from water lines to septic tanks to dug ponds to dug dams. Like he knew how to make money. And he would never tell anybody no. If he didn't know how to do it, he'd go figure it out. And if he didn't know how to do it, he'd get somebody who knew how to do it and work through. So it's kind of goes back to a great book I read once before, Who Not How.
Yeah,
if sure. you don't know how to do it, find somebody that knows how to do it. But he was that person. And so that's kind of what he's instilled in me is hard work. Never say no. You learn how to do it mm-hmm. and have a positive attitude. Work hard. Get every day like you're in charge of your situation. You know, and a great mentor has told me since that, you know, you got to pray like it's up to God, but work like it's up to you. And so, but that's one thing my dad taught me is hard work for sure. And if you want something, you go out and get it.
So he can't, I'm going to go back to this. He can't text.
He cannot text.
He can't like,
in fact, it's pretty funny. Yesterday he FaceTimed me. And I almost fell out. I had to pull over because I was driving. I said, "How did you FaceTime me?" He said, "I don't know. I was just pressing buttons." I was like, "Dad,
Jason, that's amazing."
I was like, "Dad, you don't even know." I said, "Do you even know how you did that?" He said, "I had no idea."
Can't do it again.
And then when his face popped up, we were talking. I was like, "Oh, what a refreshing to be able to see your face on the phone talking to you and knowing you don't even know how to." Like, he just doesn't know. And he's always clicking around. And at any given time, the phone's off or it's on silent or if it's who knows. But
man, oh, man. So
but he's a trip.
He was a massive influence as far as just like, I mean, it's like you said, I've had bosses before that were wonderful bosses, but they taught me more about not what not to do.
That's right.
As much as what to do. But you've had the bosses that the
that's,
same.
That's right.
So the high school, when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Michael Jordan.
Athlete just like everybody.
Michael Jordan.
Perfect.
You know, grew up watching the Bulls, Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan, Horace Grant, like, you know, had the 23 jersey.
All of us did, yeah.
I wanted to play basketball and fly through the air just like him. And, you know, white boys can't jump.
Can't.
So
no.
I used to be able to dunk at one point, though. Yeah. Not today.
Now, did you go to college?
I went through it was a fun journey there. I did go, but I didn't finish.
Yeah.
What I ended up doing in 1995 when I graduated, had no idea what I wanted to do.
Sure.
You know, my life was, I don't know, it was a, you know, I had fun in school. Basketball was a huge part of that.
Yeah.
But I had no idea. You know, again, I had my mom that was, she was getting up, going to work, raising three kids. My dad was obviously gone a lot of that time, so really didn't have much direction. Was just kind of left to my own to kind of figure things out, and just didn't really know what I wanted to do. So we had a big factory in Hayleyville. We've got a lot of trailer plants and things like that going on. And so I started working at a place called MZH, and they manufactured sleeping bags at the time. And so I started working there and just doing odd jobs there, working in the shipping department, in the distribution center. And learned a lot there, but also learned very quickly, this is not my life.
Sure.
I am not going to do this
just for a season.
I see these people. I became good friends with them. But they struggled, you know, and this was their life. They hated what they were doing. Every single day they were getting there, and I was literally punching a clock. And then to leave and to exit, once I got there, and to leave. And I was like, I'm not doing this. I can't do this. And so I started to go into Northwest Shoals Community College, and thought I wanted to be a teacher. Man, I love kids. I'd love to be an elementary teacher. How cool is that? And so did that probably for about a year and a half, and just really was like, again, I don't know. This is what I want to do. This is, you know, and this doesn't give me energy. I'm not loving this at all. I kept hearing in the back of my head, you're going to go to school for 4 years. You're not going to earn any money. You know, a teacher maybe earns $30,000 or $40,000, maybe 50 now. I'm not sure, but I just, you know, I thought, wait, this is really not what I want to do. And then also, too, my dad, learning from him, his work ethic, he was always like, learn something nobody can ever take away from you.
That's true.
He said, go learn a trade. Go learn something that whatever happens, you know, in the economy, nobody can take this trade away from you. And so I always had that kind of ringing in the back of my head. And so stepped away from Northwest Shoals, moved to Jasper, started going to Bevel State, and then went in. My dad's like, look, go into HVAC.
Okay.
Go learn heating and cooling. Go learn about furnaces. And so I started doing that. He bought me all this equipment, the regulators, all this fun stuff, and I was learning a lot, and it was pretty cool. But then I was thinking, man, you know, I don't like spiders. And I don't like jacked up crickets.
I don't like spiders.
I don't want to be crawling in attics and basements, you know, doing all this duct work. But I didn't really have I didn't really think of it in terms of, you know, I could learn this trade and go out and I didn't have to do that. I could have employees do that. I just didn't have that kind of right mindset.
Yeah.
And so then I thought, well, I don't really want to do this either.
Okay.
And so that didn't fit me.
You were figuring the things out that you didn't want to do, but really had no clear direction of what you did want to do.
Yeah, exactly. And really
of elimination.
And really had nobody to guide me.
Sure.
So that's kind of been the story of I've been weaving my way through life, just trying to figure things out. Mm. Where am I going? What am I doing? I wasn't a Christ follower at the time. Didn't have the Lord in my life. And we could talk about that too. But just trying to figure some things out. At the time, I had met a girl in Panama City.
Okay.
I was living in Jasper at the time, going to Bevel State, and she lived in Vestavia. Started dating. I was driving back and forth, and I thought, you know, I'm going to leave Jasper. Yeah. And so went from Hayleyville to Jasper, then from Jasper to Birmingham. We ended up breaking up, but I stayed in Birmingham, been here for 24 years, and met a wonderful friend of mine. We're still very, very close friends, good buddy Brad. He was working for AmSouth at the time. And said, he said, man, I think you'd be awesome at banking. He said, I think you'd learn a lot.
Right.
And that was the turning point for me. I started going to UAB, taking some business classes, started working at AmSouth as a part-time teller, was working at the Good Feet store, selling orthotics.
I remember
looking at hammer toes, looking at gout, I mean,
golly.
It was disgusting.
But working hard.
I was working hard.
There's a theme.
I was trying.
There's
a
theme here.
I was figuring it out.
Yeah.
And so the more I worked at AmSouth, so after 6 months of a teller, they moved me to the desk side because I was like, look, I just got to get my foot in the door. And at the time, they didn't have a desk job, like a financial sales associate.
Right.
FSA was kind of the entry-level desk job. So I said, just let me be a teller. Get me in the door.
Yeah.
And so they hired me. I worked at the Vestavia location on 31 and did that for 6 months. And then they hired me to the desk side. And then I got insurance licensed, to sell life insurance.
Okay.
And then I was learning about equity lines. And then I was looking, learning about finances, learning about mortgages, tons of education.
That's
while going through at UAB business courses. And I wasn't learning a thing. I didn't feel I was learning a thing. I was grasping more from a day-to-day, like, get in the mud, let's get dirty, let's get my hands on. And so I was like, look, I'm making money. I'm working advancements. I'm getting promoted. I'm learning so much.
No degree.
And then I was like, look, I'm out. So I just committed my life to, I'm just going to get dive in at work.
Stop school.
Stop school.
So you figured, you were getting all your questions. I have a buddy that was on here not long ago, Scott Olson, and he said, and Scott's incredibly brilliant. He's got a law degree. I mean, like, he did go the school route, but he was involved. And he said he would go to the library and look at all these deals.
Yep.
And then he would look in the deals, write down the questions. The next morning, go into this guy's office and say, hey, I got some questions for you. And the mm-hmm. guy would sit and answer every question.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that was a breakthrough in his education and knowledge about all that. And then we had Ashley Mack on here. And Ashley Mack asked, what's the number one thing you wish you'd done? And the number one thing was have someone to direct me and guide, have a mentor.
For sure.
That's what you're telling me. You're telling me that you working and having these questions answered all day long is what?
Well, I'm a doer.
Yeah.
I love to read, but books are great. But it's just like the Bible. I can read the Bible all day long, but am I going to go, am I a doer of the word?
Sure.
Am I obedient and do I put that into action?
Sure.
And so that's the way work was. I went to work every day, immersed myself. I mean, I had people at the time, I was in my 20s, I had people 40, 50, 60 coming to me for advice. Hey, Jason, what should I do about my checking account balance? What should I do about my mortgage? Should I refinance? And I'm educating them. And so I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm like, this is amazing. So then I got my 66 and 63 license and I'm selling securities. And then I had learned so much. And then I had all these mentors above me, pouring their life into me. And so 16 years in banking, ultimately, from AmSouth from 2000 to 2005 and then jumped over to Compass and stayed there till 2016 until I jumped into real estate. And then I've been in real estate now for working on 9 years.
Okay, so you skipped over 16 years in about 3 minutes. So so tell me why the transition from one bank to another, people do that all the time. That's not a big deal. Don't really care. I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't really care about that. But like, tell me why after 16 years, what was the trigger to get you out of banking and into real estate?
Yeah, great question. So there was a lot going on. So during that 16 years, I had gotten married.
Okay.
Had met my wife, ex-wife now.
Yeah.
And
I see where this is going.
Yeah, we were married. We were married for about 9 years.
Yeah.
And out of that marriage came a beautiful son, Baron. Actually, on Monday he turns 15. So he's
ninth grade.
10th
grade.
Will be next year. Ninth grade. He's in eighth grade now.
Perfect.
So you
got old kids.
He's awesome.
He's old. He's old first grade.
He is, but we held him back in kindergarten just because he needed a little
that's
more.
That's good. That's good. But all of our kids are that age.
Yeah,
that's
it's
good.
Perfect.
Now, where does he go?
Vestavia.
Perfect.
Yeah, he's a great kid, awesome kid. But his mom and I at the time, 9 years, again, we didn't have Lord in our life.
Mm.
We didn't have Christ in our life. We didn't have Christ centered in our marriage. We didn't have him as our firm foundation. And I grew up that way and kind of backtrack just real quick. So any, I guess going through high school, you know, if I dated someone and they went to church, I'd go to church.
Sure.
On a Sunday. Who doesn't? You know?
Hey, if you're in Alabama. Yeah, exactly.
So, but every time I walked into church, I walked out feeling a lot worse than I went in. Because I always felt whoever was delivering the sermon of that day, I mean, they were pointing at me. It felt like every single day, every single Sunday there when I would go, telling me why I was going to hell. And all the things that I should be doing that I'm not doing. Yeah. And I just felt like I am not this perfect person. How do I do that? So then I just kind of stepped back and I said, you know, this is, I don't know what I believe. I believe there's a higher power. There's got to be something greater than this universe. But whatever he's telling me, I've got to be this perfect person that I'm not. So I'm just not, I'm a good guy and that's it. And we'll leave it at that. So I kind of backed away and kind of gave the Lord at the time the old Heisman.
Yeah, sure.
And so went about my business. We get married, you know, really kind of come back to that. We get married. And then rock along for about 9 years. And then all of a sudden one day she's like, I'm not happy or something's wrong. And I was like, was your stomach hurting? Like, what do you mean wrong? And so that kind of led down to a spiral. And within months of that, we were divorced. So that was about in 2014. And she went her way.
Did you see
that
coming?
Man, I was so blindsided by it.
Wow.
So blindsided. I think in a lot of ways I was in denial of it.
Sure.
Maybe if I look back and think there was so much growth I needed to do. And it's not her fault. It takes two to tango.
It's a two.
So I've got as much responsibility in that and in that failure that she did. And but I've learned so much and God's done an amazing work in me. But so I was depressed. I was hurt. I felt like I'd been castrated. Barron at the time was 4. And so I was rocked, man. It really hurt me. And I was working at BBVA, so Compass, when I started with them.
Yeah.
They turned into BBVA, and now it's PNC. And so learning a lot, still growing there. But at the time, that divorce really did a number on me. And I was kind of at a time in my life in 2014, 2015, that, and moving into 16, I didn't know what I was doing, where I was going. I was lost. I was hurt. I was broken. I was down. I was depressed. And just kind of like, what's going on? What is this life? So I'd kind of hit a point in my banking career because of all this, I think, that I was like, look, I can't do this job anymore. I'm not being fulfilled. I'm not helping people the way I want to help people. I'm not being helped. And I was like, I'm going to go out and buy lawnmowers and weed eaters, and I'll cut grass before I do this again.
But do you think that, because before all this craziness, this being blindsided by a wife that walks in and says, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I know hindsight's 20/20. Do you think that, were you happy before that happened in banking?
Good question. So, you know, I was getting to the point when that happened with my ex-wife and I was becoming unhappy.
At work.
I'd kind of hit a point in my career. I felt like, you know, I'd learned so much. I was helping people. At this time, I'd moved from more retail to commercial, and I was in commercial banking. So I started working with business owners in that $5 to $10 million range of securing SBA loans and financing commercial equipment, commercial property, and I liked that. And that's what started up getting me kind of in tune with more of like real estate. But it felt like I was building a lot of relationships, but because we had such a narrow box that we were looking for in the lending side, I'd come out and meet Thomas, and we'd get to know each other, and you know, we'd hit it off, and Thomas would want to go buy something, a piece of equipment, and you know, lo and behold, I just couldn't help you. Maybe your DTI, your debt to income ratio was too high, maybe your income was too low that year, or maybe it was seasonal, or maybe it wasn't, just didn't fit in the right box.
Sure.
You know, from a business perspective of what we're looking for.
And then Thomas,
I love you and I'd love to do business with you, man, but I can't help you. And then I found myself over and over and over. Well, then so I just was like, I want to help people.
Sure.
And so then the divorce happens. And then so all that kind of, this perfect storm just kind of happened. And in 2016, I started listening to a podcast called Bigger Pockets.
Yeah.
And love Bigger Pockets. I mean, I have learned so much.
They do
a fantastic job. So during this time too, you know, again, had not accepted Christ into my life. I was divorced.
So let's go to this.
Yeah.
When did you find Jesus? And that's a very, very important part of this whole story.
Yeah. Oh, huge part.
Yeah.
Huge part. In the end of 2015, early, we'll say the beginning of 16.
So all of this stuff is culminating. The divorce,
yep.
Getting out of banking, finding, I mean, you have a 2016, it's like an incredibly important time in your life from a tragedy standpoint to a redemptive standpoint. So tell me about like how you figured out that you needed Jesus.
The biggest. So I had, so I'm a reader. I love to read every night. And so it's pretty funny. Don't laugh. So, you know, from a tactical standpoint in the military, you see a lot of red lights.
Yeah.
So they do that because they're going in from a light room to a dark room, sure. Because it doesn't dilate your eyes. And so I love to read at night, and I started reading at night, and I'd have my nightstand on. And so I'd read, and I'd get tired, and the book would hit me in the face, you know. But then I'd turn out my lamp and go to sleep, and I'd be wide awake because your eyes are dilating, you know. So I thought, it just dawned on me. I was like, from a tactical standpoint, they do that. So I went and got a camping light and put it on my head and turned the red light on, and I'd read with a red light on every night. And then I'd turn it off and go to be asleep in 2 seconds. I still do that today.
Yeah.
And you can see just fine, but it doesn't put strain on your eyes. And so I know that's funny, and people say you're weird for doing that. So I started doing that. I read every night. So I found this website called All Pro Dads, and started by Tony Dungy. Mm. And wonderful Christian content. So it was teaching me things about how to be a Christian leader, a Christian father, a Christian husband, a friend, how to walk with Jesus, how to seek the Holy Spirit. And so I was being fed, and I didn't feel like I was proactively seeking Jesus, but I was seeking Jesus in that, and I didn't really know I was seeking him. So I was reading one night, and all of a sudden, and I wish I could go back and find this exact article, but I was reading, I had my red lamp on, and that night I saw the brightest light. The Holy Spirit had visited me. It was like a plane had landed in my bedroom, like the biggest light. It was so bright, and it was a split second. But that split second, I was like, that's it. This is it.
Mm.
So I immediately jumped on my phone and went to the website, All Pro Dad's website, and found that they had small groups, and reached out. And I said, listen, here's what just happened. I need to meet with somebody. Why? I didn't know. I said, I had no idea. But I knew right then what I needed in my life, and it was Jesus. And so I'd emailed, they had kicked my email over to a guy named Rich Van Houten.
Okay.
And he's, you know, Rich is like my spiritual father.
Sure.
I met with him this morning. So we meet weekly. And so he called me the next day and said, hey, what are you doing for lunch? And I was at Compass Bank at the time, BBVA, sitting there at my desk, and like, I don't know who you are, or I don't know. He said, but well, let me take you to lunch. We'll meet at Chick-fil-A Five Points. And so I went to Chick-fil-A Five Points and met him, sitting face-to-face like this with a Bible between us. And I was bawling my eyes out, just hurt, broken. Yeah. Gave him my whole entire story. He shared his story with me. And from that day on, started discipling me, started, you know, reading the Bible with me. We started in John, and then, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Yeah. I mean, went through all the Gospels. We're just getting all this just fed.
Sure.
And at probably the third or fourth meeting, he had asked me, he said, are you ready to accept Christ into your life? And I was just like, yes.
Yes.
And that's I said, I can't wait. And he said, well, you bow your head and say this prayer. And I did. And he'll tell you, he said, from that day on, when you looked up after that prayer, like your eyes were open, different. Like your backbone, you stood up straighter. And it was just, it was awesome.
Man.
And ever since that, from 2015, 16, it's just been this wonderful, wonderful journey of growing and just being and so going back to that, going to real estate. So that's what led me there. And so I found Christ in my life. In 2016, we were going through a lot of changes at BBVA, and our president left, our division was being kind of separated. And so the Lord at that time knew that, I mean, I'm a very dedicated person. I will not give up.
Yeah.
But he also knew that to the point that I was like, I'm going to force you to leave here. And so I was fired because of my production, because of my heart wasn't in it. I didn't want to do it. But I thought, you know, I'll stick it out. It's going to get better. I'll keep trying. And so, but I needed that. He needed to kick me out the door because he knew I was never going to fly without me being kicked out of the nest. And so right then I said, you know what? I'm done with banking. I'm never going to go back to this again. The easy thing to do would go find another bank. And I could have easily done that. I had several calling. And I was like, no, I'm not. I want to get into real estate. Real estate is it. I feel like I'm being drawn there. And so for 2 months after I left banking, I spent 2 months in the library every day. Had my sack lunch, had my backpack, studying had my notes, studying test. For the test every day. I mean, I was there so much, I had people coming to me asking me where books were. I'm like, look, I don't work here, but I'll show you. I mean, yeah. You know, like, it's over here. And so pouring myself into it, but I never had a point where I felt, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing? I just felt, it felt so right.
Are you divorced at the time?
Yeah, completely. Oh, yeah.
Completely divorced. Divorced. You've got a four-year-old.
You're
changing careers.
Scared.
You got no money.
Yeah, exactly.
You're got a four-year-old. You don't have a wife, and you're studying to be a real estate agent.
So for 16 years, you know, I'd been in the corporate world where I got a paycheck every 2 weeks, where I got health benefits, where I had a 401k, where I got bonuses every quarter, to all that going to zero. Nothing. And was it scary? Yeah, it was scary. But at the same time, I just felt this peace that this is right where I need to be. Was I scared? Yeah. Did I wake up some nights thinking, what did I do? What am I doing? But I just, again, I always had this overwhelming peace about me that says, hey, keep going. Just do.
You can't
just
explain that peace
just keep
to people.
Going. You can't.
You can't. We get out of
it's
coaching.
It's supernatural.
And we take a massive pay cut, and my dad looks at me like I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You sure, son?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't explain it. Mm-hmm. So that is very, very difficult to explain. It's kind of like having kids. You can talk to someone about having kids that doesn't have kids, but you really can't explain having kids until you actually have one. It's the
That's
same thing
right.
with this situation. It's like, I've got this piece. I know it sounds like I'm crazy, but this is where what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you get into real estate here in Birmingham. So talk to me about your first deal.
Yeah.
Your first real estate deal. How did that go?
Yeah.
First thing you ever did.
First thing I ever did, and what I tell any and everyone getting into real estate is you can't be a secret agent. You're not 007.
That's right.
Call people, talk to people, knock on doors. Anybody you talk to, wear a shirt that says real estate.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, you know, I'm still ragged a lot of times by, you know, my son, friends. Why do you wear ERA King real estate shirts all the time? And I'll tell my son, what do you like to eat?
Yeah.
Do you like the lights turned on? Do you like the gas that we get? You know, it's business. You got to get out there. And so my first real estate deal was one of my best friends, Jim Patko. He was the first deal. He put his faith in me and said, look, sell my house. I want to go buy one too. He was the first deal. The second deal was actually just a random person reaching out to me on LinkedIn. Said, hey, I want you to come sell my house. I'm like, okay. I didn't know what I was doing. Had no idea.
Absolutely. Just like
scared
your dad.
Scared to death.
Just like your dad. Absolutely.
But I went in sitting down like I'd been in this business for 50 years. And that's my approach with everything. If I don't know how to do it, you ain't going to know I don't know how to do it.
I love it.
I mean, you're not. I'll figure it out.